Thrill Me.
This show is part of the Thrill Me Podcast Network. Experience more on Facebook and YouTube.
An ale for me. And for my officers.
Welcome to the Maiden Voyage episode of 10 Forward. I am your host, Zach Hilton, and this sideshow from the Thrill Me Podcast Network is a solo gig for me. I'm hopeful that there will be guests in the future. This entire series is going to be a rewatch of the Star Trek Next Generation series and movies. And series again. If you've been on this channel before, Thrill Me Podcast Network, I did a unboxing of the Picard Blu-ray set, which you can see, link it down below, look in our feed, whatever you got to do. But immediately I thought I need to do something that I wanted to do a little while ago. I used to host Zach's Speakeasy, and the spinoff show of that was going to be 10 Forward, where I talked Star Trek, and I thought this is the perfect time for this. I am in the headspace where I want to do a rewatch of this. My Star Trek TNG started all the way back in 1987. I watched the original run, I watched reruns, loved the movies. I mean, what's going to be kind of spoiler here, I'm okay with all the movies. Insurrection's probably the one that I have least, but I haven't seen it in so long. So maybe my thoughts on it have changed, especially when I do this rewatch. So this whole show is just going to be the TNG stuff from 87 to 94, the movies all the way to what, 2002, I think they did. And then Picard coming back and doing those three seasons. So I'm super excited about doing this, and as you saw through the intro, I'm not going to be hard nerding out on this. It's literally, I'm a huge fan of the property. I'm not fanatic about it. I do have my Chateau Picard glass here, which I'm having, funny enough, during the intro, when you watch that intro and Scotty's drinking, earlier in that scene, because I got the footage from it, he freaked out. He was like, this don't taste like scotch. And Data tells him that it's synthetic alcohol. Like, it's supposed to taste like it. It just doesn't give you the buzz alcohol would, which I find ironic because I'm drinking golden ale from Athletic Brewing, which is no alcohol as well. So I just find it funny. We're living in the future. We're finally here. We're doing it. So, cheers to y'all. Welcome to the spinoff of Zach Speakeasy. It got canceled, but this is living on, I guess. Okay, so we are starting with September 1987, Star Trek The Next Generation, Encounter at Farpoint. And the basic plot to this one, in case if you haven't watched it, if you're not going to go rewatch it, and if you're just going to watch me ramble on about it, this is the basic plot to it. On the maiden mission of the USS Enterprise, NCC 1701D, an omnipotent being known as Q challenges the crew to discover a secret of a mysterious base in an advanced and civilized fashion. So that's the basic plot to this episode. And I have notes, I have thoughts on this one. My first number one thought on Encounter at Farpoint, I thought, and I don't think this is a Mandela effect, I think this is actually for TV, that this was a two-parter when I watched it originally. And watching it together, the Blu-ray had it together, and even on IMDb has this as one episode, like there's not a part one, two. So it kind of threw me for a loop watching it that way, which I'm fine with. But the way that the episode plays out is wild, because the pilot episode of your show doesn't have some of your main cast members that are eventually going to be in the next, the second part, I guess, of this episode. Just wild how it's done. But yeah, Q shows up, which I knew Q was, you know, the main protagonist against Jean-Luc Picard through the entire series, through everything that TNG has been a part of. But I love the fact knowing that, like, there's this overarching story that's going to stick around with so many big episodes for its entire run of a series. So I love Q. We'll talk the main cast members first. Patrick Stewart, obviously, bar none, my favorite captain. Oh, captain, my captain. John DeLancey, who plays Q. Like, I think him and Patrick Stewart's chemistry with each other is amazing. And it shows from episode one. Yes, there's cheesy bits in it. There's definitely some cheese in the air. Like, at one point, when the security officer stands up, red shirt up, baby. Red shirt stands up like he's going to get Q, and they fire what I'm guessing a fire hydrant thing right at him from under camera. They're firing this at him, freeze him. A little cheesy, and some of the acting's cheesy, but overall, what a fantastic time. I do like the idea, because you think Q's this, like, harsh bad guy, because he keeps showing Picard, like, this is humans. Humans are suck. And humans do suck, but they evolve. They try to better themselves. And that's the biggest thing about Star Trek is, for me, it's trying to better yourself in age more and more, you know, take these advancements and get better. And Q shows this, like, he's wearing old 50s military uniform. Then he wears a uniform from an age that's unbeknownst to us, but beknownst to them, where, like, the soldiers are even taking drugs and stuff. It's wild. So don't want to go to that time period. And then eventually with this first part, because he wants to just trial humanity through the Enterprise and wipe us all out. And he puts us on trial at a place I guess is some kind of future Earth past to the TNG crew. And all these people are around. These soldiers are just shooting everybody, everything. Even once Q comes out, he kills the soldier that was trying to get the Enterprise crew, which at this point, I think it was the counselor, Data, Picard, and Tasha Yar. And they're all, like, he wants them to stand, and they're not. They're kind of, you know, I'm not doing anything you say in your house, whatever you say. Eventually, Q kills him, and Picard makes a deal of, like, let me prove to you we're better than what you think we are. And he's like, all right, you're on trial. This is probation. We're going to take a 5-minute recess, okay? And I'm going to watch you. And that's when the second part of the episode kind of comes in play. And again, this is why while watching it, I kind of had, like, this, okay, so how is this separated in episodes? Like, it's a 90-minute episode. Where did you split off at? And the only thing I can think of, which I think is fantastic, near, there's a point where this admiral is on the ship, and that Data, I think it's Data, or it's Riker when he finally comes on. Somebody says to Captain Picard that the admiral is ready to go. He ain't beaming over, and he would rather use a shuttlecraft, yada, yada. And it's like, they tease you. They tease you real good with it, but to come to effect, it's Dr. McCoy. And I'm talking, like, brittle bone, gonna die any minute now, DeForest Kelly. Dr. Bones, like, they did makeup on him and stuff like that. And obviously he doesn't die anytime soon, because he's doing Star Trek movies as we speak during this. But, like, at they have a walk, like Data and him are talking, and he's doing this like, boy, what are you talking about, boy? You remind me of this boy, a new boy. And it's like, what are you doing? Yeah, we get it. You think he's Spock, which is really cute. I think the whole thing's cute, but when they do the pan where he's walking away, they linger on it for so long. All I could think of is like, that's where they put like the executive producer credit. Like that's where the producer credit went. And then when we're into the groove of the second episode, that's when we get to meet Will Riker, Beverly Crusher, Will Wheaton's Wesley Crusher, even LeVar Burton, Geordi, he shows up. So that's what I'm saying. Like half the crew's not in the episode. And then a lot of this episode from here on out is like all these lingering looks. Like I absolutely love when Riker and Deanna Troi meet, because the counselor, she's an empath, I believe, and she can like, you know, she can feel feelings and stuff like that, and sometimes talk through thoughts and stuff. So when Captain Picard goes, hey, Will Riker, number one, have you met Deanna Troi? And there's this like love theme that plays over, and they're looking, and Deanna Troi is like, do you remember how I talked in Beta Z? Do you? Can you hear my thoughts? Which Riker never responded to, which I thought was fantastic. And like, they're like, hello, counselor. Hello, commander. And Picard's like, y'all met before? Good, great, wonderful. No yelling on the bus. Let's get into this turbo lift. And they walk into the turbo lift, and Picard's just like, I did the fucking solidless fucking meet cute, guys. I did it. Woohoo, we did it. But the thing about the episode that I love from that standpoint, later on with Beverly Crusher and Wesley, there's a lot of character work that we're just knocking out in episode one. Like, Picard's kind of a strong-willed. He's got guards up, and you can't tell, like, how he's going to be to his crew. But he's very commanding, while also there's that little subtlety of, you know, compassion. And he lets out, like, I don't like kids. I'm running this galaxy starship. I don't want no kids anywhere. So when later on, Beverly shows up to the bridge, first he only sees Wesley. He's like, there's no children on the bridge. Get that child off the bridge. And then Beverly comes out, and you could tell they have that linger look. They have that linger look of like, oh, I know you. I know some things. And he puts two and two together, and she's like, this is my son, Wesley. And he's like, I knew you dead. I knew Jack Crusher. And like, he lets him on the bridge. He lets him mess around a little bit, which is so adorable, because Wesley is going to play this like kid that knows what he's doing. And I love that oh so much. But eventually there's like this distress call and stuff. And he kicks him off the bridge because Wesley was pressing buttons and stuff, which is fine. So during all this, again, Q, he's all watching these guys during the recess break, but also there's weird stuff happening at this starbase where, like, we meet, I believe his name's Zorn, whatever. That guy cracked out home. I mean, you could tell from the get, my man ain't doing right. What did I write his name as? Zorn. Yeah, sure. So, like, weird things happen at Farpoint where Beverly, when she was on the planet, she was like, oh, I love this pattern. This would be great in like gold. You know what I mean? Talks to Will Riker, comes back, and now it's in gold. Well, Riker meets Zon when he's like, hey, man, what you doing on there? Yeah, we want to do starship stuff. Yeah, we ain't going nowhere else. We stay here. I ain't doing nothing else. This is it. You want to come here? You can come here. But like, an apple appeared and Riker ate it. And when like, Riker left, Zon turned around, he's like, get a swear to God, I'm just gonna knock you up. Which, obviously, something ain't right. Something's afoot. And throughout the episode, we're dealing with, like, the counselor. She's feeling pain, hurt, and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, the ship comes into play, and it's huge. It's bigger than the Enterprise. And Q's showing up, and he's like, what are you gonna do? You gonna shoot him? You gonna do some things? And it's firing on the planet, but it's firing at like the old station and stuff like that. And the away team's down there in the hall stuff. But like, basically this thing gets free. The space station, which uses like energy to change things, there's this alien that's down there, and it's kind of cool because like the ship is saucer looking, what you would think a spaceship, and then like it flips over and it looks like a goddamn giant jellyfish. So the giant jellyfish wants to get with its girlfriend boyfriend that's down there at the planet, because somehow Zahn don't really understand, besides like it was low on energy and he capped your mind now, and like that's fine and all, but like I don't understand how you got this giant alien to just sit here for a while. So basically, he just turned into this alien into a Motel 6, because he is exactly the manager that would work a Motel 6. So I'm glad Starfleet don't want to do deals with him. By the way, when he was like, oh, you don't want to do deals? You don't want to do deals with Zahn? I'll go to the Ferengi. Those scumbag motherfuckers would love to work with me. And it's just, again, why would you want to deal with this guy? Long hair, black eyes, like you tell he's been on benders for like 4 days. He's been telling this alien, synthesize me some drugs and stuff. Like, it's all kinds of whack. I don't know why Starfleet wanted to deal with him anyways. But all that went down. It's a fantastic episode. I think IMDb had it like at a 6.9. I agree. I think with the character work, the beginning of the next generation, like, we have to get used to this new crew. We've had an entire series with William Shatner and guys all the way through movies. Like, we have to get adjusted to this. Now, the theme music is great. It's the theme music used from the motion picture. And it's more of a TNG feel. Like, you could tell, like, they can only get so many symphonies to do this version. But I do like this show. I think this is going to be a fun rewatch. I had a blast watching it. Spoilers, I did it in two parts when I told you about that Dr. McCoy bit. I was like, I'm going to pause this and I'm going to come back, because I don't feel good about watching this just as a straight thing. So I did make it a two-parter myself. Another thing about Tim Ford that I'm excited about, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to GalaxyCon in Richmond, Virginia, from March 15th through the 17th. And there's so many stars. If you ever been to like a Comic-Con, this is like the Richmond's biggest version. There's sci-fi actors, there's comedy actors, there's all kinds of people that are going to be here. But one of the big things that they're doing, Star Trek folks will be there. Cast from Picard will be there. Terry Metalis, who was the showrunner for the final season of Picard, is going to be there. And boy, oh boy, do I want to meet him. But one of the things I'm super excited about, and I'm going to tell you about it right here, is that William Shatner's documentary, You Can Call Me Bill, is going to premiere Friday, March 15th at 8 p.m. at The Bird in Richmond, Virginia. I will link tickets where you can buy them if you're interested about going. I am going. I am very excited about this because, I mean, as much as Patrick Stewart is my captain, William Shatner has a near dear place in thy heart. And I love my Captain Kirk. And I can't wait to see this documentary about his life, his career, everything. And then he's doing a Q&A. So I think I'm going to try to get some video of that, so you can look forward to that for the 10 Ford stuff. But yeah, man, that was episode one of Star Trek TNG. If you have thoughts on Encounter at Farpoint, leave them in the comments. Follow us on Instagram, Thrill Me Podcast Network. Tell me all about it. Hey, if you want to guest on this show, if you're a Star Trek fanatic and want to talk this stuff with me, if you have your own point of views, you're more than welcome to shoot me a line. Hopefully we can make it work out and you can come on. But I'm excited about this, guys. So, hey, cheers to y'all. Have a good one. We'll catch you on.